Here we go.
Do it.
Okay, cool.
Here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Coffin Talking, where we unravel the mysteries, embrace the peculiar, and find humor in the unconventional world of funerals and death. I'm Holly, and Frank is here.
Hello, Holly.
Hello.
Happy tail end week to you.
Tail end week.
Happy tail end week. And to you, Coffiners, happy
end of the weekend.
Happy tail end of the weekend to you as well. And I'm going to try something different. So welcome, Coffiners. That's a coffin open and closing.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, we'll bypass that. All right. Well, you got to try it. You just got to try it. Maybe I'll get a sound effect where we can actually have it recorded and it's the same every single time. And then after the story, you'll just hear that coffin close, closed, end of subject. We're done. We're out. We're done. Coffin talk.
Coffin is closed.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good idea. God. I think I may even consider that, Holly.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, I've already considered it. We'll talk about it later. But
and yours is no.
Don't
already.
Get your hopes up.
I can hear it in your voice. I've already considered it, Dad. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, great.
All right.
Well, how was your week?
Good. It was extremely busy, unfortunately. Yeah. But I have received a lot of positive feedback from things that people are learning from this podcast and things that we're being able to actually portray in hopefully through verbal message as opposed to simple visual. Hopefully our vocabulary is wide enough to go ahead and explain to you exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And I will reveal to our coffiners that it was your birthday last week.
Yes, it was.
How was it?
I was all alone. I was all alone, Holly. I had ice cream cake, Holly.
You did?
Yes.
From where?
The fictitious Lisa purchased some for me the day before she left. And so,
good.
And so we had some before she left, and then she left half of it, and I just kind of ate it while she was gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Mom was out. It was her spring break, and so she was out visiting her dad.
Yep.
But
which is what she needed to do. What?
Yeah, she needed to do it, but it happened to land on your birthday.
That's right.
So that's not fun.
Well, it's 2 years in a row now, Holly, so hopefully it won't be.
Oh, my gosh. Next year. Frank's birthday is this week. I got to book a ticket.
What can I do? He'll be fine alone. He's done it before. I can trust him in the house alone. So yeah, So that was that wasn't necessarily the highlight, but yeah, it was my birthday and it just was another working day. Tried to get off early that day so I could get home, and just kind of enjoy some relaxing time. Never happened. So just kept right on working. So that's fine. Hmm. What about yours, Holly?
My week was very good.
Good. Why was it very good?
Well, for two reasons. Number one, we got Guitar Hero this week. Do you guys remember this?
Okay, Coffiners, stop for just a minute, Holly. Holly calls me and she says, Dad, I have some great news. And I said, oh, okay. And here I thought it was about the podcast. And she goes, Caden and I got Guitar Hero. What? Well, not exactly what I expected the answer to be, but oh well. What was that, Holly?
I said this overshadows everything else.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh
well,
my God.
so much for the podcast, but great. Yeah. I'm glad you've got Guitar Hero.
Oh yeah, we don't have time for the podcast anymore.
I guess we'll break away. Whatever,
oh,
Dad.
Man. Okay. No, but and it's been so much fun.
Oh good. And what's number two?
And number two is Caden, my husband. You know, he's been applying to law schools, and he got some very good offers this week. Very promising offers. And so we will be making a decision on where we're going within the next week.
I think that's fantastic. Yeah, he told us. Well, the two of you told me, and oh my gosh, what great news. Yeah, I'm glad that it's half the battle is, you know, your LSAT and then turning around and hoping that the scores are high enough that you get gain an interest from some of the major colleges and universities. And so two hurdles.
Yep.
Already taken care of. And now the main hurdle, deciding where and what you're going to do.
Yep. Yep. But we're excited about that. So it's been great news all around this week.
That is fantastic. I mean, I was very happy about that. And then So Guitar Hero slid kind of down the line just a little bit. I no longer thought about Guitar Hero after Caden was talking to me about some of the offers he was receiving. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. Now, what was the first one, Holly? Guitar Hero. Okay, good.
That was my week.
Fun. I'm grateful. How's school going for you, by the way, Holly?
It's good. I have less than a month left. And I am thrilled because I'm so checked out.
Okay, I can imagine.
So, yeah, I'm just pushing to the end and we'll get there.
Yeah, I know you will. So it looks like all the kids right now are right in that crucial moment of completing school, which is going to be fantastic once everybody's done. So anything else?
Nothing else. I suppose it's time to be frank.
Okay, Holly. We're both making faces at each other. So just so you know. Okay. So today's story is a little bit different only because it takes place outside. And so I think it's interesting for people, coffiners specifically, to note that any of the experiences that I share could easily happen indoors or outdoors. And this particular one, I'll just start with a young family, young mother and father that came in devastated that their boy had drowned. And it was a sad situation. And I did not want to know the story of the drowning. All I needed to know is that the young man drowned, and he was 5 or 7, and I can't remember the age of his brother because they were 2 years apart. And the one that passed away, she eventually did share the story with me. So I'm going to just briefly share the story with you. So she had come home. And he had to be the younger one or the older one because he was in school. So she had come home and was getting ready to go get him when she received a note or a message from her husband that he had actually picked him up already and that he was home.
Oh.
So she started calling for him and asking for he was, hey, are you home? I'm home. Come down. Let's have some lunch. Let's get some early dinner. And no response. There was no response at all. And, This home had a nice backyard apparently and a swimming pool, but the swimming pool itself had a cover over it and it was opaque, dark. So you couldn't really see the pool underneath it.
Yeah.
And so she went out in the backyard and was looking for him and still calling. And the younger brother, was with her. And as she started walking the perimeter of the pool, she noticed that there was a little bit of a opening in the pool tarp. And the pool tarps are very cool. I mean, you can easily put some weight on there if they're properly secured. And so anyway, she panicked and started ripping the cover off. You know, it snapped or something. I don't remember. I don't have a pool. And so the cover was being pulled off by the mother. And there he was floating in the pool. So she screamed and she grabbed him out of the pool and she put him on the decking and started to do compressions and do the very best she could to try and revive him. She didn't know how long he'd been there. Right. According to the message that was received by the father, she was guessing that he was probably home alone about an hour. And so at that point, she tried the very best she could and was talking to the fire department. The fire department arrived. They tried to do the very best they could, never regained consciousness. And, so they pronounced him deceased right there in his own backyard. So let's fast forward just a little bit to the service. So there was a nice funeral service that had actually been planned and arranged for this young man. And one of the interesting things about it was that I don't know if you have been to funerals lately, but when all the family gets together, everyone kind of goes their own different ways. And so they all start doing their own different things. And because of the tragedy of the passing of the way this young 7-year-old passed away, media took a frenzy to it. And I never understand that. And so the family had never really received any type of reprieve from news agencies knocking on their door, phone calls, terrible things written in the paper.
So they
just decided that they wanted to have private graveside services after the funeral service in the mortuary. Now, the mortuary had asked the personnel of the reporting agencies to stay outside the facility, but they couldn't keep them off the property because it's public property.
Yeah.
And so they could secure the inside of the building. So the family was able to go ahead and have their funeral service. The interesting thing about this particular case is that as that service was going on, again, as it was about to begin, everyone's around everywhere. And then the 5-year-old disappeared. The 5-year-old brother disappeared, and the mother became very frantic. Yeah, the younger brother became very frantic. And of course, who wouldn't, right? You've just lost a child, and now your second one is missing. Mm-hmm. So she started looking around everywhere. She looked at me, "Frank, did you see my son?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I think he walked out towards the gravesite." Now, you have to understand about the gravesite. Whenever there's a gravesite that's about to happen, most cemeteries will leave the grave open. And there's usually a vault that's been placed there so that, you know, if someone falls, it's a minor fall. But and then they lower the entire vault down. So I just thought to myself, oh, wow, I wonder if he got into the grave area. But in order to keep their security, their privacy secure, they did something a little different. Thus, this family actually hired a tent company to come in and post a tent around the grave. So usually when you go to a graveside, there's a metal frame with a tin roof on it. And so you have easy access. There's plenty of ventilation all the way around. It prevents the sun blocks very little of the sun. The heat is there. And but this tent came with ventilation and everything and fans. It was really nice. And so I just looked outside when I said, "Hey, I think he went outside towards the graveside." And as I looked out to the grave and I looked at that tent, I could see. Now I'm going to ask you, Holly, have you ever been camping?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been able to put your hand on the inside of a tent?
Like pushing out?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what do you think the people on the outside see?
Well, you'll see a outline of a hand,
okay,
but it kind of just the whole surface just kind of melds up.
Yeah. And if you press hard enough, you can actually make that distinction though, right?
Yes. Yeah. You can definitely feel someone pushing on it.
Yeah. And so as I mentioned to her, the mother, that I thought I saw him walk out towards the grave, the frantic, happened in her face, and I just looked out there and I could see little 5-year-old hands pushing on the tent. Like that's cool. Look what I can do. Mm-hmm. And so he's pushing on the tent, and I just didn't think much about it, but I saw her walk out there, and she's standing in the doorway or the open area before it was closed when they initially went outside. But I could see her, you know, motioning to him, you know, with her hand shaking back and forth. Come on. And so finally a little hand comes out and grabs her hand.
Yeah.
And so sheepishly, he's kind of walking back to the service with his mother. They get into the service and they sit down and the service begins. And I just thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. I've never seen a tent like that. It's one of those big white ones. It's almost like a wedding tent. It's a big white one with the windows in it that are plastic and very nicely done. And so as I'm sitting there listening to the service, looking out at the graveside, then looking back at the service, then my attention goes back to the graveside and I see what? Little hands again pressing on the inside of that tent. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this mother's going to be frantic if she looks down and he's not there. I'm going to try and save her some time. And so I went on ahead and I just thought, well, I better hurry because I don't know how far into the service it is. I don't know if it's going to break anytime soon. We still need to get out to the cemetery. And this, okay, just so you know, this, okay, it doesn't matter. But I walked out to the tent and I just said, hey, and I called the little boy by his name. Hey, your mom's going to be upset if we can't get you back inside for the services. And I walk past the tent and I see those little handprints pushing on the canvas. Mm-hmm. And then I looked around inside the tent and there was no one there. Huh. And I come back around to the outside of the tent and I look and sure enough, the hands are still pushing on the outside of the tent. It's still going. And so I go back in and I look and still no one is standing there. I can't see anyone. So I just, without hesitation, I just walked right up to where I thought that where I could see that the things were pushing, something was pushing against the tent to see if there was any airflow from the fans that were set up. See if there was airflow there that I was not missing or that I was missing. And so I'm standing there just looking, no movement in my hair, no movement of brushing of air all across my face, nothing. And so I just thought, okay, this is another of those quote unquote experiences. So I walked out of the tent and walked back up to the mortuary where the services were being held. And I looked in there, saw her sitting there with her husband. And sure enough, the little boy was still sitting there. And I wonder what I just saw. And so after the services, we all made our way to the tent. And as we were there around the tent, around the open graveside, the tent, of course, was closed so that the press couldn't see what was going on. Again, the service continued there with another small little speech or talk by the father. And then a small prayer was said, and then the casket was placed on the grave. The interesting thing there is that once the casket was on the grave, of all times for someone to say something to one of the parents saying, this wouldn't have happened had it not been for you. That type of comment.
Oh my gosh.
Happened right there in that closed tent. And so all of a sudden a verbal argument and I mean just broke out between the mother and the father and some of the people in the family. And it just became terrible. I opened up the tent and I just started, you know, because I thought, well, if I make any announcement that this concludes the services, that maybe it would break up a little bit. So I just hurried and opened up the tent and I said, this concludes the services. Would you please calm down? Please be seated. Those that need to leave, please leave. You know, trying to accommodate the situation completely 100%. When the casket, and now just so you know, for those of you that haven't been to a gravesite before, the casket is placed on what's called a lowering device. So that casket is on two, maybe three straps, green or wide green straps, and some rollers. They allow the rollers to buckle under, and then the straps just carry the casket down into the base of the grave. So the cemetery refused to lower the casket with all the commotion going on. And I don't blame him because you don't want anyone falling into the grave.
Right.
And so I just said, please leave the cemetery. We'll complete the gravesite. Please come back in about an hour, hour and a half when you have time to come back and meditate and think a little bit more on this young man that's passed away. And so the casket gets lowered to the bottom, to the grave. And it's just me, the mother, and the father, and this little boy. The casket gets lowered to the bottom and the husband and wife start holding each other, you know, in grief. And then the son says something interesting. He goes, I see you. I see you. And I'm just sitting there thinking, well, what do you see? And all of a sudden, when the husband and wife broke their embrace and they said, oh, honey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. No, I see him. He's right there. And he's pointing in the direction of, I guess, where the handprints were initially seen or noted from me.
Yeah.
And he's right there. He's playing with the canvas. And as I'm looking at him and then look over at the canvas, it again begins to happen.
Really? The handprints?
Like this, the handprints. And the parents both looked at me and said, what is that the fan? I said, I don't think it's the fan. I saw it earlier. It wasn't the fan. I don't think it's the fan. And they came up with something very interesting for me to note at that moment. And she just started to cry. And she said, this was probably the worst thing we could have done. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, the tarp over the pool.
Oh,
God. Y'all see, and this was her thought. This is the way she was thinking. I think he's struggling.
Get out.
Yeah, I think he's struggling to get out from under the tarp. And now he's under a tarp again. And now he's struggling to get out from under the tarp. And I just thought to myself, oh, my gosh. And, you know, if I was to hurry and turn away and look away from anything, that would have caused me to do that. And that's I just, well, I said, oh, I don't know that I don't know if I believe that. And I just, you know, turned it away. Yeah. And I thought to myself, that's 100% could be true.
Right.
And so who's to know? And she goes, now, and, you know, because she didn't want to think that he was struggling. But, you know, it would be scary to be trapped under a tarp with water all around you, not being able to find your way back out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering if that was, in fact, what that little boy was seeing. But he walked over as the husband and father left, or the husband and wife left, because they were upset. He rushed back into the tent and he said, you can come to the house anytime. And that was his, that was his invitation to, I think, his brother to come back to the house. Yeah.
Anytime.
You can come to the house anytime. And so I really don't know what happened from that point forward. I just thought that the entire experience was interesting to note, only for the simple reason that the little handprints that were going on. And I don't know what happened to the husband and wife, because I don't know if they were able to reconcile things that happened. But as soon as as soon as that wedge is placed, it's hard to remove. And so I really don't know exactly what would have transpired with regards to that young man or the little boy and his parents, but very interesting to be a witness to what was actually transpiring. So when they were leaving, of course, the throngs of reporters started asking them things. And I just kind of walked in front of him and said, would you please leave him alone? Would you please give him some privacy? Yeah, this isn't the time. And so some of them left, and one of them noted the little boy that was there, and he was saying, he's alive. I saw him. And he's just making a grand announcement. Yes, I saw him. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Now's not the time. So
like, I have an audience right now. He's alive.
My word. Yes. And so just an interesting little caveat at the end of this story, is one reporter that actually noted that he had said that, stayed and was witness to the entire burial process. And as that process was done and the dirt, the final layers of dirt were placed, they do a very interesting at the cemetery. In most cases, they'll take rakes and they'll rake the soil so that it remains, so that they know that it's been completed. That's not to be dug or anything like that, but the grave has been completed. And as I was sitting there, waiting for, I don't know what I was waiting for, but I don't normally wait this long. Oh, it was the tent company. That's what it was. The tent company had to come back and grab the tent.
Yeah.
And so I was waiting for them, because that was part of the agreement that someone would watch over the tent until they were able to bring it back into their care, or to pick it up and restore it and reuse it. So as I was standing there, and the tent, just so you know, is already broken down because they had to get the backhoe in, or the bulldozer in, to place the dirt. So the tent was already set to the side, broken down and set to the side. And as I was sitting there waiting, that I said goodbye to the cemetery crew, and I was looking at that grave, and I just thought to myself, oh, it's so cool. It's so nice to see neatly manicured soil. That's what I was thinking. And I was looking to the edge, and what did I see? One footprint. I saw one footprint in that manicured soil. And I just thought, oh, wow. And I just said verbally, are you still here? And because I thought it was the little boy, because it was a small footprint. No one else was around. And they had just finished the grave. And there was one simple foot imprint on the grave. And I just thought, oh, I'll bet he's still here.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of an interesting way of ending that story in regards to what was witnessed and noticed. And I would not have even seen that had that tent not been part of that service, because I had to wait for that company to come and pick up that tent. So anyway, there's that story. What do you think of that one, Holly?
Man, I think that is just, obviously it's a tragedy, but you can definitely look at it from the point of view that the mother and the father were, that, oh my gosh, I've trapped him again.
Yeah.
But
oh my gosh, I try not to think on that aspect of it. Yeah. But you know what? When I turned away and I thought, oh my gosh, she could be true. It could be true.
Yeah. He could be scared. But also, I think from the mouth of babes, you know, trust your other little son who's saying he's playing.
Yeah.
He's not scared. He's playing.
Yeah.
And
he's here.
I see you.
And it was almost like a hide and seek tone. You know what I mean? I see you.
And I don't think if a little boy saw his brother struggling and trying to get out and scared, I don't think he would have said it in that tone.
Yeah, I don't either.
Or come back and said, hey, you can come back to the house anytime.
Come back to the house anytime. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would have been interesting to have a follow up with them just to see.
Yeah.
If anything else happened at the house.
If anything else had happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's an exterior. That's an exterior, an outdoor experience. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of them that will come up down the line here in just a few weeks. But there's a couple of outside stories that you just need to be aware of, because sometimes when we're focused on happenings inside of a building, that's the reason why it's happening, because you can see close proximity of things.
Right.
But outside, things are still happening. But unless you're actually focused on it or aware of what's happening, you're going to miss it. Yeah, because you're not so focused.
And I wonder too, just thinking back upon it, the little 5-year-old, when he was playing in the tent at first, I bet he was playing with his brother.
He could have been. And that's a good way of thinking of it too, by the way.
Yeah.
But every time I see this or think about this experience, I always wonder, not wonder, but in my own mind, and you kids have asked this a number of times when you were growing up, why don't we have a pool? Why don't we have a pool? Yeah. And I just think, and my wife and I had thought immediately when we bought the house, we aren't going to buy a pool because there's community pools nearby.
Right.
And people that do have pools don't use them every single day. So is it a waste of money? And when the kids want to go swimming, we'll go to the community pool.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there, the community pool, quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. But we went all the time.
Yeah, but I think that from this experience, as I look back, it was probably a good thing, because there are rules now and regulations that you have to have pool fences.
Yeah.
And also some sort of a covering over the pool when not in use. And I think when we first moved here, that was not the law.
No, and I remember even growing up, there was a string of, I mean, just over the space of a couple years of many kids drowning.
Yep. That's true.
And so I think that that's when they regulated and said, you have to have a fence.
Yeah, could very well be.
It's so easy. There's so much risk there.
I agree with that. So anyway, I guess the moral of this story, if I was to place something on it, would be, you know, they have that news reporter out here that always says, watch your kids around water.
Mm-hmm.
But the message that I take from this is, I think kids are still wanting their parents to know they're around.
Yeah.
And whether that's a good, and you can look at it a number of different ways, and we'll talk about tragedies of murder and of total child abuse. But when you start looking at individuals that probably were not supposed to die, or were not, it was an unexpected death, not brought on by anything other than maybe curiosity of the 7-year-old. But I just think that, as you begin to think of different experiences and happenings around you, and recognizing that little kids, I used to teach an escape school for children. And I think that going back to your point, Holly, I think that when you hear this younger brother say, I see you. And when you hear kids talk to you so openly as adults, and I don't believe that.
Sure.
Yeah. sure you did. And okay. But in that class, I think the one thing I took away from that above anything else is that you need to believe the promptings of a child. Mm-hmm. And because they're usually right. And whether you want to accept it or not, children are pretty innocent and pure when it comes to those promptings, and they haven't been totally, I guess, what do I want to say? Messed up by society? Not messed up.
I was going to say brainwashed.
Tainted?
Tainted? Tainted, yeah.
Yeah. They haven't been completely tainted by society. And so next time you're listening to your children and they say something you think is off the wall, listen seriously to what they're saying. And then take them seriously. Because in child abduction cases, the way they feel, they got to run, and they make perfect sense to a lot of, for me anyway, when children tell me, I don't trust him, I don't feel good around him
or her.
And you say, why? He's a good guy. She's a nice lady. Yeah. But if the child is saying something, there's a reason.
Yeah.
So
and maybe take note.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So anyway, that is it for this one, Holly.
All right.
Any other comments any comments or questions on that one?
No, I don't think so. I think that kids are just amazing and so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this was just a little boy trying to be sweet to his parents in a way that he knew how. Look, I'm playing. I'm okay. I'm here.
Yeah. I wonder if his brother heard him. I mean, heard him speak.
Yeah.
Or if his brother was saying something to him.
Yeah, because I think little kids. You talk about people who can see spirits and see ghosts. I think little kids are just so pure, and they're like, oh, hey, you're here now. Oh, look, it's grandma. Look, it's grandpa. You know, like, I just,
Or they look off in the distance. Oh, there he is. Yeah, he's right there. Why are you so sad? Mommy's standing right there.
Yeah, he's right there. Yeah, I think it's just another testament to, you know, these tragedies happen, but there is still hope, and they're still there. I see you.
Yeah.
You're still here. Agree.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. But I think that one does that wraps up this episode. I will say we've been getting so many messages from our coffiners just of appreciation, and keep them coming because it just makes our days to know that someone is listening and you care about the podcast. And, you know, it's really fun to see the community of coffiners that we have growing. So please follow us on Instagram, send us a DM, send us an email at letsbefrank@coffintalkin.com. If you have any weird experiences, if you have any funny, cool, you know, anything, we'd love to share them, or not if you don't want to. And join us next week. We'll see you then.
Thanks, coffiners.
Thanks.